Welcome. We are on Daf Beis Amud Beis of Maseches Tainis, about four or five lines from the top, where the two dots introduce a new section of the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer mi Yom Tov Arishon Shel Chag. Rabbi Eliezer was of the opinion that we commence reciting Mashi Baruach Morid Hagashem on the first day of Sukkot. So now the Gemara wants to know, when precisely on that first day do we begin inserting Mashi Baruach Morid Hagashem? We could do so at Mariv of that very first night, the first tefillah we recite for Sukkot, or we could do so the following morning, or we could do so at Musaf. So says the Gemara, the answer to this question depends on what exactly the source is for Rabbi Eliezer's contention that we recite Mashi Baruach beginning on the first day of Sukkot. Iboy luchu, so the Gemara says, I have a question for you. Rabbi Eliezer mehecha gamir la. What is Rabbi Eliezer's source for beginning the recitation of Mashi Baruach on Sukkot? Milulav gamir la o minisach hamayim gamir la. There are multiple mitzvos that are being performed as Sukkot begins. One of them is the mitzvah of lulav, the mitzvah of dalid minim, and the other is nisuch hamayim. Nisuch hamayim was the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash when they would pour each and every day of Sukkot water onto the mizbeach itself, bringing the whole tefillah and aspirations of Klal Yisrael for a year of healthy rains to provide sustenance to the Jewish people into the world of the mizbeach, into the context of avoda, the context of tefillah. So one option is that this source of this is emanating from the mitzvah of Dalid Minim, of Lulav. The other possibility is it's coming from Nisuch HaMayim. Both of these are things we begin at the outset of Sukkot. So the Gemara says, if it comes from Lulav, Milulav Gamir La, so if it emanates from Lulav, Ma Lulav Biyom, the mitzvah of Dalid Minim begin at the daytime, the morning of the first day of Sukkot. So Av Haskara Biyom, so too, the mitzvah of Mashi Baruach Umarid Hagashem would also begin at the daytime of Sukkot. It would not begin the night before. O Dilma minisach hamayim gamer la. Or maybe no, that really the source of introducing Mashi Baruch Morid Hagashem at the outset of Sukkot is connected to nisach hamayim. That would be a very logical connection as well. And that connection would mean ma nisach hamayim meursa, just like nisach hamayim could be performed the night before. De Omar Mar, as we are taught, umin chasam v'niz kehem, afilu balayla, a drasha that comes to include that the avod of nisach hamayim may be performed at night. So af haskara miursa. So too, we should remind everyone, we should announce to everyone that we're going to begin reciting Mashi Baruach Morid Hagashem, and we should do so at the outset of Sukkot, really that night before, at that Ma'ariv. So, which is it? Does it come from Lulav? Does it come from Nisach HaMayim? And the answer to that question will determine when we begin reciting Mashi Baruach Umarid Hagashem. So, Toshmas, the Gemara says, come in your proof to Amar Rabbi Avohu. The Rabbi Avohu would say, Lo Lamdo Rabbi Eliezer, Elami Lulav. Rabbi Eliezer did not learn this notion that we begin reciting Mashi Baruach on the first day of Sukkot only from the mitzvah of Lulav. And how do we know that? So we have two different possibilities. Ika de Amri, some say, Rabbi Vo, Gemara Gomir Law, that Rabbi Vo had a tradition, an oral tradition of this, a Mesorah. The Ika de Amri, and some say, no, it wasn't just a Mesorah, it was a text, Masnisa Shmiele. He had actually a tradition of a text, Maihi. What is that Tanaic text that sources the association of Rabbi Eliezer's opinion with a particular approach to this question? So says the Gemara, Ditanya, Mei Masai, we learned in a Braisa, Mei Masai Maskirin al Geshamim. The Braisa asks, when do we begin mentioning rain, reciting Mashi Baruach Morid Hagashem? Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Rabbi Eliezer says, Mishas Netilas Lulav. We do it from the moment that we pick up the Lulav. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Mishas Anachaso. So we have the very same machlokas Tanoim as we have in our Mishnah, but is depicted not simply based on the day or the date, but rather it's associated with the relationship that we have with the mitzvah of lulav. Rabbi Eliezer being of the opinion that Mashi Baruach begins at the moment we pick up the lulav, at the outset of that mitzvah. Rabbi Yoshua saying that it is when we put it down, after we complete the mitzvah, after Sukkot is over, on the eighth day of Sukkot. So what do you see from this, Braisa? One thing is clear, that the argument is surrounding the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, and the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav is done during the day. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, and if it's done during the day, then we know that Mashiv Aruch Morin Hagashem will be introduced only during the day. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Hov Arba Minim Alolu Ein Bon Elo Leratzos Alamayim. Since these Arba Minim only come for Ritzui, in order to arouse HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to provide for us with respect to rain, with respect to water, since we know, of course, these Dalid Minim are agricultural Chetzei Shel Mitzvah, that themselves embody the notion of growth and vitality as it relates to things that grow from the ground, that necessitate rain. So therefore, Arba Minim Halolu and Boin El Ratzah Salamayim, Kashem Sha Arba Minim Halolu, Yesher Behem Belo Mayim, just like these four Minim, cannot exist without water, Kach Yesher La Olam Belo Mayim. So too, the world cannot exist without water. And therefore, we would begin to be Mazkir, Mashiv Aruach, Umarid Agoshim. So Amar Lo Rabbi Yoshua, so Rabbi Yoshua says to him, Valo Geshamim Bechag, Eino Ela Simin Klala. You know, that may be true, and I'm not necessarily countering the thematic connection between the outset of the Chag of Sukkos, which clearly celebrates the notion of Mayim in such profound ways, and the notion of mentioning rain, but still, rain is a simen klola when it comes to the Chag of Sukkos, as we mentioned in earlier shiurim. This point that rain is a simen klola on Sukkos, and how that should relate to Mashiv Aruach Morid Hagashem is somewhat related to the question of when exactly on Sukkos is rain considered a simen klola, or even where on Sukkos is rain considered a simen klola. There is a machlokas rishonim whether or not rain is only a simen klola on the first night. And so we know there's a fundamental difference between the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah on the first night of Sukkos and on the rest of Sukkos. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us that each day of Sukkos, we have a requirement, if we're going to eat in the Sukkah. However, on the first night of Sukkos, we are required to put ourselves in a position where that eating happens in an obligatory fashion. It must happen. Not if you want to eat, you have to eat in the Sukkah, but if you wanted to eat items that don't require Sukkah, you would not necessarily be eating in the Sukkah, but rather there is a mitzvah to eat in the Sukkah. In fact, the Gemara learns that out from Gzeres Shavah, Tesvav, from Chag HaMatzos. Just like on Pesach, the entire remainder of the Chag, if we want to eat a bread-like substance, that we obviously have to eat matzah. We have an Isser Chametz, but there's no mandate to go ahead and engage in Achilas Matzah. There might, according to some, be a Kiyum HaMitzvah of Achilas Matzah, the rest of Pesach. I believe that's the opinion of the Vilna Gaon. But there is no necessarily requirement to eat it proactively. But on the first night of Pesach, we know we have a mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. We must eat matzah. So the Gemara makes a Gzera Shava, that just like Pesach begins on Tesvav, and Sukkos begins on Tesvav, we make a comparison, and we import this obligatory, compelling requirement to engage in the mitzvah of Achila from Pesach to Sukkos. And when it arrives in Sukkos, it does so to force us to eat in the Sukkah. And that's why the first night of Sukkos, and there's a discussion in the Rishonim, the parameters of Mitztayer may change, the Pturim of Geshem may change, and that's why we are a little bit more open on the first night of Sukkos to waiting until rain passes if we're in a climate where that becomes an issue, because it could be that we have that requirement even under adverse conditions, and that itself is a whole halachic discussion. But we know that qualitatively that first night of Sukkos is certainly very different than the rest of the Chag of Sukkos. And so therefore, some say that first night where you have a chiyuv b'sukkah, this is the opinion of the Rabbeinu Ephraim, that first night, that's considered a simen klola. But the rest of Sukkos may not be considered a simen klola. There's a language in the Rambam that sounds a little bit like this as well, where he has a language of b'tchila sukkah. Sounds also like the first day maybe. The Shita of the Ritva is a little bit different, and no, even though it's true that only the first night we have a chiyuv of achila b'sukkah, but all the nights of Sukkos, if people want to eat, they do have to eat in a sukkah, and therefore rain does disrupt that kiyum mitzvah. And there are certain things that do have to be done in a sukkah, like shena, like sleeping has to be done in a sukkah, and that is inevitable. At some point over the Chag of Sukkot, you're going to end up sleeping. And so therefore, you do require a sukkah during that time. And so therefore, perhaps there are more days that are a simen klala. Then there's a discussion if it's a simen klala, if that relates to when the rain began, if it began before Sukkot or on Sukkot, whether or not this is just a din in Eretz Yisrael, or whether it's a din in Chutz Laretz as well. All of this is a discussion. But nevertheless, Amar lo Rabbi Yoshua, v'alo geshamim b'chag, eino ela simen klala. How could we, as we explained previously, how could we entertain the possibility of allowing ourselves to begin reciting Mashiv Aruch Marad HaGashem when it seems to be a simen klala? So Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says to him, af ani lo amarti lishol, I didn't say that you should ask for rain, ela lahazkir, rather you should just mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in the world in providing rain. And just like Tchias HaMeisim is a concept that we mention the entire year, ve'ena ela bizmana, yet it will be restricted to a particular moment in time where it's going to occur. So kach maskirim gevuros geshamim kol hashana. So too we mention the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reign the entire year, knowing full well ve'ena ela bizmanan, that there are certain times that power is going to manifest itself, and there are other times that power will not manifest itself. And so therefore, it should be mentioned, even though it might be a simen klala on the Chag of Sukkot. We don't intend to convey in any way, shape, or form that the rain should start now, but that rather the notion of rain, of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the provider of rain, of sustenance, is appropriate for Sukkot. Lefichach, therefore, imbala haskir kol hashana kula. Therefore, if you want to mention rain the entire year of maskir, go ahead. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Omer Ani, I say, hold on, Mishoshe Mafsik L'Sha'ela, at the time that we stop asking for rain, Kach Mafsik L'Azkar. At that time, we should also stop mentioning rain. And Rashi explains that what Rebbe is essentially saying is that just like we stop asking, just like at the moment when we stop asking for rain, we stop mentioning rain from saying Gevuros Geshamim. So the same thing is true when it comes to Chag HaSukkos. We're not going to pick it up and start mentioning the rain unless we actually want the presence of that rain. So essentially what Rebbe is saying is that there is a connection, a greater connection, between the She'ela and the Hazkara. What's the nature of that connection? Maybe the nature of that connection has to do with the authenticity of what it is that we're expressing. Maybe if we're mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's strength with regards to something that we ourselves know sincerely we do not want, that there is some sort of pagam in the authenticity of that shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something. We have to mean what we say. We have to, all the time when we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something, we have to mean what we say. It's important that our tefillah be yotze min alev, be something that is an expression of what's truly going on inside of us. So if we know that the context of our human experience is such, and in this case, it's actually defined by our religious obligations, we know that we really don't want this rain, so to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that rain, so there's no question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deserving of the praise for that rain. It can't be that Rebbe thinks HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the source of rain at that particular moment, but perhaps maybe there's some sort of pigam in the shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself as we are articulating it, when we know full well that we are kind of two-sided about it. We don't really want what it is we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he can do. It's very difficult for a human being to bifurcate what it is that they really want from themselves and how we are affirming God's power in the world. We generally would want those two notions aligned. And so therefore, we begin reciting Mashiv Aruch Marad HaGashem only after the Chag is over. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, B'sheni b'chag u'maskir, we're maskir on the second day of Sukkot. Rabbi Akiva Omer, B'shishi b'chag, we do it on the sixth day of Sukkot, u'maskir, that's when we begin Mashiv Aruch Marad HaGashem. Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Rabbi Yehuda name Rabbi Yoshua says, Ha'over lifnei ateva b'yom tova achron shel chag, if you come before the Teva, you come to be the Shliach Tzibur on that very last day of the Chag, that last day of Sukkot, which is, of course, Shmini Atzeres, right? Shmini Atzeres enjoys an identity that on one hand is the culmination of Sukkot itself. It's the Achron Shel Chag. On the other hand, we know that it's also a Rego Bifnei Atzmo in a number of different ways, six different ways that the Gemara distinguishes it throughout Shas. But nevertheless, you're coming on the Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag, which really means Shmini Atzeres, Achron Maskir, Harishon Eino Maskir. The last Shliach Tzibur, the one for Musaf, is going to mention it. The first one is not going to mention it. The Baal Shachris is not going to mention it. But Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, on that first day of Pesach, Harishon Maskir, Achron Eino Maskir. And that's the way in which we accomplish this transition, through the Tefillah of Musaf. So then the Gemara says, with regards to this conversation that took place in the Mishnah, Shapir Kamerle, Rabbi Eliezer, le Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer actually had a very good claim to Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer said, what's the problem? We're just being mazkir. Just like we're mazkir when it comes to the world of Tchias HaMeisim, even though we know that it's only going to refer to a particular moment in time. So too, when it comes to the world of Mashiv HaRuach HaMored HaGashem, it's only going to refer to a particular moment in time. And so therefore, we could praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu while also being exclusionary to the notion that we don't want it to happen right now on Sukkot. So Amalech Rabbi Yoshua, would say to him, no, Bishlam Tchias HaMeisim. I understand Tchias HaMeisim Maskir, that's, you can be Maskir, Dekule Yoma Zimnehu. Because all of time is an appropriate moment for that moment to pass. You're right, Tchias HaMeisim is only going to happen at a particular moment. But any moment is a potentially appropriate time, not just appropriate, is a time where we would embrace the chance to have the experience of Tchias HaMeisim, Ela Gishamim. But when it comes to rain, Kol Emes to Asin Zimnayuhi, you're telling me that rain is the type of thing you would praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? And at all times, it's something that we would want? It's not at all times it's something we'd want. What's not? Yotza Nisan, V'yardu Gishamim Simin Klala. At certain times in the year, when Nisan completes and rain falls, that's a Simin Klala. Shenemar halo kitzir chitim ayom. And that pasuk is discussing something that is negative happening to Klal Yisrael. So what do we see here? That when we're talking about rain falling, there are times that rain falling is not appropriate, that we don't want it to happen. So you can't compare Haskaras Geshamim to Tchias HaMeisim. It's not just that there's only one particular moment it's going to happen. Rather, there are moments that are appropriate, and there are moments that are not appropriate. Therefore, we're not mazkir gishamim only in a time where it's appropriate for it to happen. That's the only time we would be mazkir gishamim. Now the Gemara goes on to further explain the brisa. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer b'sheni b'chagu mazkir, that on the second day of Sukkot we mention Mashiv HaRuach HaMored HaGashem. My time with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. What's the reason Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? The Tanya we learned in the brisa. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer. Nemar, it says, b'sheni, it says on the second day of Sukkot, v'nizkehem, v'nemar b'shishi, it says on the sixth, v'nisacheha, v'nemar b'shvi, k'mishpatam, on the seventh day, k'mishpatam. Sahare, says the Gemara, if you look at the extra letters that appear in these conjugations of these words, v'nizkehem, which was unnecessary, unisacheha, and kimishpatam hare mem yud mem. And what does that spell? Hare kan mayim. Mikan remez l'nisach hamayim min haTorah. And that's a remez for nisach hamayim min haTorah. Maishna b'sheni dinokan. Why is it specifically that it was referred to on the second day? So dechi remiza lehu b'kra b'sheni hu d'remiza. Because it was when the pasuk alluded to this code of mem yud mem, it commenced on the second day. Hilkoch Basheni Midakrinon. Therefore, on the second day, that's when we begin reciting Mashi Baruach Umarid Agashem. There's a lot of discussion in the postgame on how to pronounce this insertion. Is it Mashi Baruach Umarid Agashem or Mashi Baruach Umarid Agashem? Most assume that those two phrases do basically mean the exact same thing, and that Goshem with the Komatz is basically the pausal form of Geshem. So some postgame say it should be Geshem, because it's a insertion that is intended to really be appended to the rest of the praises that are part of the section of Gevurah. While others believe that no, it's an insertion, that since it only is put there at particular times of year, it retains some independence from those other praises. It has unique character to it, as we've just distinguished between it and Mechaye Yameisim. And so therefore, maybe you use the pausal form, and it's Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGoshem. So there are different girsos, different sidurim, right, different things. Most shuls tolerate, using one form or another, although some shuls will be machpid towards one form or another. Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGoshem.